On the contrary, they were hated by all. Yet Jesus reached out to them and taught them, because that is why he has come, to teach those who need it most. So in their culture, in their society, sitting down with somebody that was hated was highly frowned upon. And so the teachers of the law and the Pharisees questioned Jesus. And in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, we read this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. And we're going to jump to verse 11, if you want to read with me. And Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and raced and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" We thank God for his word. Let me just quickly remind you of the first two parables found in that chapter. Firstly, the lost sheep. A shepherd had 100 sheep. One strayed away. The shepherd left the other 99 safely in the pen and searched the open country to find the one that was lost. Upon finding the lost sheep, he brings the sheep home and throws a massive party for the one that was lost was found again. The second parable was a woman who had 10 silver coins. She lost one and decided to light a lamp, and then she diligently swept the entire house until she found it. Once again, upon finding her lost coin, she celebrates with her friends in a similar way to that of the shepherd. Now, all three of these parables teach us something very unique, that Jesus was showing the sinners that salvation was available to even them, while also answering the complaints of the Pharisees about Jesus spending time with sinners. I want you to note the ending statements of each of the parables. So for your reference, if you're taking notes, Luke 15, verse 7 reads, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Luke 15, 10, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then Luke 15, 32, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." You see, Jesus was giving hope to sinners. Hope, my dear friends, while also calling the righteous Pharisees to rejoice with the hosts of heaven over the fact that someone who was lost was found again. All of these parables in Luke's gospel force us to ask the following question: how and with whom do I relate in these stories? How is this hope given to me? And so a couple of years ago, I found this very modern depiction, this very modern drama of the prodigal son. Enjoy their sense of humor. Hope you enjoyed that modern prodigal son. Tonight we'll focus on this lost son, but we'll also focus on the father's response to the lost son. You see, the lost son is often referred to as the prodigal son, which means to be addicted to wasteful expenditure. In the story, I believe the house represents our relationship with God. Obviously, the Father represents God Himself. But I do believe that we often, without even knowing it, relate to this younger son quite a lot. I'm not going to tell the story to you again. I'm just going to bring up a few highlights of the story. Back in the day, if you were the oldest son, you would get 2/3 of your father's estate when your father died. Today it's kind of equal. You know, we're trying to do a bit of equality with our children. The one person gets half and the other person gets half. But I just want to ask you this question tonight, parents. If your son or daughter would come to you while you were still alive and say, "Hey, mom and dad, please sell all your stuff. I want my share of your estate." Would you relate with that father and just give the son or the daughter a good fashioned hiding? And to go, "You need to wake up because I'm still alive and you're being extremely rude and disrespectful." I'm pretty sure I would react that way if I had children. But this young man, in our modern day context, had very normal aspirations. "I want to be independent of my parents. I want to live my own life, make money, become as rich as they are, even richer, and I want it now." Young people, telling you tonight, it doesn't work that way. You don't get that now. The story reveals what happens to us if we think we can get that now. And we have the cheek to go to our parents and say, "Give it to me. I want it all now." So how do we relate with this younger person as a young person? If you at any point in your life said, I want to live independently of anybody and everything, you can relate to this young person. He didn't just go away to a far-off country and spend his money. The very basis of that desire was independence, and I believe misguided independence, which led to greed. Because parents would agree with me, from the moment they're born, you want the children to be independent. You want them to wipe their own bum. You want them to do all those kind of things immediately, but I've been told that you have to wait a couple of years for certain things to fall into place. But we bring them up with a certain amount of independence, which I think is healthy. But if it's misguided to that point where the child becomes so self-centered and greedy that they've got the cheek to tell you, give me the money now, you would agree that that independence isn't healthy at all. And if you've been around the block a few times, youngsters, please hear me out. Listen to your beloved parents. They love you dearly. Independence is good, but every now and then, mom's lemon meringue is just better. Mom's coffee in bed is just better. You need to remain dependent upon your parents. But the story speaks of something deeper than that. We often, regardless of our age, become very independent of God. How do we relate to this guy? How many of us are still inside the house? How many of us still live in a relationship with God inside of his estate, inside of his house? How many of us have walked away independently in our lifestyles and gone, God, I think I can handle this. I think I can do this my way. God, I don't need you right now because I'm okay. On the flip side of the coin, God, please give me everything I need right now to go and live this lovely life, and I'll chat to you just before I die, just to make sure that I can come back into the house, the eternal house of God. So we can relate to this prodigal son because in our lifestyles, we often get busy. And yeah, but I've got work to do. I've got homework to do. I need to get that assignment in. I need to study for this exam. I need to make money. I need to provide. I need. And tonight, all I need to tell you is all you need in this life is God. If you live this life inside of the house, inside of a relationship of God, notice the elder son. In relationship with God, he still loses the plot a little. Hey, but I've worked so hard, yet you've never given me anything. Yet all his needs were catered for in relationship with God. So I believe the younger son and many of us sometimes have a misguided heart of independence. And tonight, the wonderful and exciting invitation of God is he's always sitting on the porch, waiting for us to come back to our senses. The only horrible thing in this story, I would say, is that this young man only came to his senses when he hit rock bottom, when he realized that nothing in this world could actually cater for his needs. And I really hope that for all of us here tonight, that we don't need to hit rock bottom before we come back into relationship with God. That we don't need to endure that much suffering, although we might need to. We might need that serious wake-up call to come back to the Father of all life. So in this story, that's what happened to him. He was feeding pigs. Now in that context, and even today, I don't think we would love to go and feed pigs. I don't know if you've been to a slaughterhouse recently. The pigs stink. They really stink. And the food that you give to pigs, I wouldn't eat. at all. But we need to remember that we don't need to get there. We don't need to go and sit on the street corners and beg in order to get close to God. We can get close to God tonight. But in that pig's pen, in that pit of absolute filth, this young man realized something. I've made a mistake. He confessed, firstly, to himself. Self-confession is crucial to any step of restoration. We cannot possibly walk to God and tell him, well, I did nothing wrong. Well, just welcome me back home. We first need to admit within ourselves, hey, man, I've done something really bad here. I've turned my back on God. I've tried to live this life my way. This young man sat down there and said, I made a mistake. He confessed his sin. And then what we all need to do in order to attain fellowship with God again, to come back into that house, back into the relationship, we need to repent and turn our backs on the kind of life that leads us into a deep, dark pit. We need to turn our backs on that kind of lifestyle and turn towards Christ and get back home. And if you want to tonight, and it's such a wonderful experience that we're going to share later on. Late next month, we'll have a baptismal service again. If you want to really connect with God in a symbolic way, walk through the waters of baptism. I promise you this, I've experienced it myself. That part of my confession and my repentance, when I was lifted up out of the water, it felt like all that filth from the pig's pen was left behind. Yes, I still had maggots eating away at my flesh. Yes, I still had wounds and scars and really disgusting stuff inside that I needed to deal with. But there's just something that happened when we surrender ourselves to God in such a way that when we come up, it's that first step back home, back to the relationship with God that we were all designed to have. Every single one of us here tonight is welcome in the house of God, is welcome in a relationship with God. And the story reveals this character of God. This unconditional love, like I shared earlier, it's so easy in our human understanding of what is right and wrong to say, you know what, young man, you squandered it all, enjoy the pig's pen. Hey, it's so easy to do that. And often we find ourselves in the company of pigs. And we kind of look back home and think we're not worthy. Yet in this story, God goes, I will wash you clean. I will give you a brand new robe. Put a finger on your ring. Restore you back as one of my own. That's not funny. They're all laughing because I made a mistake yesterday at the wedding. I love you too. And you're recording that as well. Now the whole world will hear it. But He'll restore you back into relationship with Him, regardless of what you've done in this life. And you might tell me, I haven't turned that far away from God. I ask once again, are you still living in the house? Do you know the Father of the house? Do you know that He cares for you and provides for you? Do you know Him deeply? While preparing for the sermon, I was challenged myself, thinking, how well do I know the Father? How well and how welcome do I feel in the house? So, dear friends, the story reveals to us God's unconditional, loving heart. And tonight, He's welcoming you back home. Tonight, He's running towards you with a loving response, shouting with the gentlest of whispers, saying, I love you no matter what you've done. I've never left home. I've always been here, waiting for you to come back. So tonight, come back home to God. If you find yourself like I did, broken, bruised, and battered, come back home where you can find healing, where you can enjoy God's lemon meringue pie. You know what I'm talking about. Going back home, visiting mom and dad. If you haven't had a good experience in that sense, imagine the experience that you would have wanted, and even greater. God's inviting you back to come and enjoy time with Him, regardless of your wounds and your past. So come home tonight. Remember, the only way back home starts with confession. Starts with you realizing that you are not at home. That something or someone or circumstances in your life have caused you to wander away. The only way back is to realize that you're not there. Even if you're just outside the little garden gate. Confess that you need to come back home. Turn your back on what led you astray. Remember, I did not compare us with sheep or with coins. I compared us with a human being, with a will of his own, who desired things all by himself. Yes, at times we are tempted as humans to go astray. But just like with the younger son, that call to come home is always there. And if you confess that you're not necessarily inside of the house of the Lord, repent at the same time. Turn your back on the life that led you astray and come back home. Come back home tonight. Will you come is the question. Will you? Will you turn your back on the life, like the younger son? It is our prayer and our hope that all of us do. Come home. Come home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that the Bible was written for people like us tonight. With stories and parables like these where we can relate to them regardless of the age that we're living in. And so we just ask, Lord, tonight that for each and every single one of us, that you would help us discern where we are in our relationship with you. Help us discern, Lord, how close to the house we are living, whether we are living inside of it or not. Help us tonight to discern how far off we are. How close to the pigs do we find ourselves, Lord? And as you've guided us by the power of your Holy Spirit to discern where we are at spiritually, help us, Lord, to confess that to you tonight. To declare it to you and to ask you for help, Lord, because we cannot turn our backs on our current lifestyles and walk closer to you without your help. And so all we can do tonight is indeed offer up our lives to you and say, Lord, help us. Help us to confess, help us to repent, and help us tonight to come back home to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.